Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Basically Blind. I'm your host, Avery. This is a podcast where I share my experience living with vision loss, and we also talk about different topics around diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. So I want to kick this off by just clearing the air, because I've had a few people that listen to the podcast that have reached out to me because I had my episode a couple weeks ago talking about how I came to the conclusion that an organization I was part of that I needed to leave and step away from. And a lot of people reached out to me that I know, and they were like, oh, I'm sorry to hear you're leaving Junior League. I'm not leaving Junior League. That was not the organization that I was talking about. I'm not going to call out the organization, but it's not Junior League. But a lot of people thought it was. And no, if anything, my experience with the organization that I left made me appreciate Junior League more. Because yes, there are frustrations, but it is incredibly impressive how much just pure volunteers are able to accomplish within the league. It makes me really value that experience that I've had a lot more than I did before. And I did value it. I would get very frustrated at times, but I definitely valued it. So I'm not quitting Junior League. I'm actually training manager again this next year for the Seattle Junior League. So I want to set that straight. Also, I recently read The Hate U Give. Back in February, I did a podcast where I did my reactions to The Hate U Give, the movie, which is based on the book. And after reading the book, there was a lot of stuff in the movie that totally went over my head. And I really encourage everyone to read the book, then watch the movie. The movie itself was really good. There was one character within the book that was completely eliminated in the movie. And they kind of had other characters fill in the gaps where it was needed. And there are some things that are – it doesn't change necessarily the main takeaways, but there are some significant differences in the book versus the movie. If I had to say which one I liked the best, probably the book. That's usually the answer for most people, where they like the book more than the movie. My one exception to liking a movie more than the book was The Notebook. I prefer the movie over the book for that one. And I don't know if I felt that. I think I felt that way actually about A Walk to Remember as well. So apparently Nicholas Sparks books, I think that the movies are better than the books, but I've only read those two Nicholas Sparks books. But yeah, I wanted to clear that up. Since this is the last podcast of the month in April, I realized that I did not get out in front of what resource I was going to be reviewing this month. And oops, sorry about that. But I've been using my Libby app, and I read the book Demystifying Disability by Emily Ladau, and I wanted to give my reactions to this. Now, the first thing with this book, did I personally take away a lot of new learnings? No, I didn't. I personally didn't, but I'm way more now in the world of disability justice and bringing awareness to ableism than I was even a year or two ago. So if I were to have read this book a year or two ago, I would have gotten way more out of it. So I think for most people, they will read this book and they will learn a ton. If you like this podcast, you would like this book. I really enjoyed how I liked the tone. I liked the way that it was written. I liked that she pointed out that even as herself being a person with a disability, that she at times won't use proper terminology, or she can make mistakes, and she understands that no one's perfect and that she's very much in the idea of progress over perfection. Like, let's keep moving in the right direction, but make a commitment to be better. The things that I took away from this, it was some stuff terminology-wise, actually. And it will be interesting to go back and read this book 10, 15 years, maybe even just 5 years from now, because we continue to change what we consider to be the most respectful vocabulary that we should be using when talking about historically marginalized groups and especially people with disabilities. So it would be interesting to see what is possibly considered an out-of-date term 10 years from now, because it's just how the world works. So the term handicapped is really just not a good term to use anymore. And I definitely feel like that had never explicitly been said to me, but I felt like I knew that, and I didn't necessarily refer to people as handicapped, but I would refer to parking spots or bathroom stalls as being, oh, that's handicapped parking, that's a handicapped bathroom stall. And the more appropriate terminology now is, oh, that's accessible parking or an accessible bathroom stall, which makes total sense. It makes complete sense. And the other piece, which I felt really ignorant for not knowing this. I have discussed before about how in the deaf community, they can break down the community by capital D, lowercase d, deaf. Apparently the blind community does that too, and I did not know that. So there's capital B, lowercase b. I have not had the chance to dig in and research the differences between those two. My guess is that capital B is when you really can't rely on your own vision to do tasks and you are heavily reliant on assistive technology or guide animals, service animals, things of that nature. Whereas lowercase b would be if you have a very significant visual impairment, or if you have some sight, but it still directly impacts how you're able to get things done. Those are my guesses. My guess is that I would be considered lowercase b within the blind community, with how I fall on the blind spectrum. And I mean, with that said, today was quite the day because I did go to the eye doctor for my annual checkup. And I will save that update for a whole nother podcast, but even when you're used to going to the eye doctor, when you get your eyes dilated, it's just a reminder my vision could be worse. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, it can't be worse. But it is a reminder it definitely could be. Like, it was so much blurrier. I was so much more light sensitive. So I'm pretty exhausted, honestly, going into recording this just because of the extra energy it takes to get around when my vision is even worse than I'm used to it being. But with that said, there was those. Also, she went through terms that are considered really derogatory for people with disabilities. And I didn't realize that the word spaz had been tied to describing individuals that have disabilities, and that if you called someone a spaz, it was derogatory. No idea about that. I've never called anyone who has a disability a spaz, but like, I have called myself a spaz, or I've said, oh my gosh, you're being such a spaz right now. And I just thought it meant that you were being like silly, you know? Did not realize that the root of that came out of, you know, ableist language. So won't be using that word anymore. She does a really good job. She goes through, you know, identifying a lot of the – she really talks about a lot of the topics that we've covered on this podcast. So she talks about identity versus person-first language. She talks about a recent podcast I had where it was like, how can you offer help to someone? She goes through that. She goes through a very brief history of disability. One thing I found interesting was that she commented on the impacts that the Kennedy family has had around individuals with disabilities and trying to create services and things for them. So like the Kennedy family actually started the Special Olympics and they still chair it to this day. I believe it's Maria Shriver's brother is the current chair of it. I saw him speak at something for Microsoft. And then there was also, I believe, some legislation that JFK had signed. I am glad that we are lifting that up. I found it very interesting, though, that we talked about all the good that this family did. And she does go on later to talk about how terrible institutions are. And it's on historical record that the, I believe it was JFK, one of his sisters, was institutionalized. So leaving that piece of history out was, I kind of felt like a choice possibly, or maybe she wasn't aware, but I don't know. Based off of how thoroughly researched this book seemed, I think it was a choice. And I just think that you should be making sure you're telling the full story of people. So, you know, she went through talking about all the different things that have happened, you know, how we were able to get more disability rights. She's of a very similar age to myself. I believe she's like 31, if I'm doing the math right on that, because she... Yeah, that seems right. I think she's 31, 32. And so she talked about how she was born the year after the ADA went into effect. And for myself, I was born a few years prior to the ADA coming into law. However, I didn't become a member of the disability community until I was 10. So by the time I had an apparent disability, the ADA was in place. So she and I have a very similar experience where we've never experienced life as a person with a disability without the ADA in existence. Like it's always been there to support us. And there's more that needs to happen. And that's talked about as well in the book. You know, she talks a lot about the language that you use, ableist language that you don't even realize is ableist, whereas you're using terms around disabilities in a negative way. And I had an entire podcast where I talked about that, where, you know, if you say something, oh, well, that's insane, that's crazy. I used to say that all the time, and I've changed that with like, wow, that's wild. Like I say that all the time now is a way to change that, you know, saying like, oh, they're just using that as a crutch. That person, if they can't tell, they must be blind, falling on deaf ears, like all those types of things where it really has a very negative connotation towards it. And it reinforces disability as being a negative thing. And so she spoke about that. I would just say in general that if someone didn't have a lot of exposure to ableism and disability justice and how to be an ally for people with disabilities, this is the book I would recommend. I was very impressed with the tone and how approachable it was. I found it, which is appropriate, very accessible. It does exist on book on tape as well as print versions. And I was able to get it through my local library, so I didn't even have to pay for it, which is awesome. It's a book that I may end up actually buying just so that I can revisit it time and time again because I thought it was really helpful. Just as a resource to be able to point other people to. And one thing I liked about this was that it was direct. It wasn't flowery. It was a very fast read. I listen to my books at 2x speed on average. And if I really need to get through a book, because I am notoriously bad about waiting until the night before I'm supposed to be meeting with people to discuss a book for book club and then starting the book, I have to say I'm really proud of myself because this book, as well as The Hate U Give, those are books that one of the book clubs I'm in, we agreed that we would read those, and we meet every 2 months. So I read both of those in the last couple weeks now. So I'm super ahead of schedule. Very proud of myself for that because normally it's a scramble, which is good because I need to start creating some more efficiencies in my life. I need to do a podcast where I just give some life updates in general because some things have been happening. But again, I want to focus on this book for sure today. I have read books that I have had a very hard time getting into that are written by someone who has a disability or multiple people that have disabilities. One of the books was mentioned a couple different times in Emily's book, Demystifying Disability. And I feel like I need to give it more of a shot than I did. But I really wasn't feeling it. There is something that I don't know exactly how to put into words. Sometimes when I read books that the main focus is a person with a disability, it just seems very borderline inspiration porn, which if she talks about that in the book too, which I did a podcast episode, it's just the idea of, you know, this is inspiring just because the person has a disability. And a lot of the time, the inspiration, it's more inspiring to people that don't have disabilities. Like if someone who has disability can do this, then what could you possibly be capable of that you're not tapping into, like that type of an idea. And I find that some books really jump rope with that line. I did not feel that way with this book at all. I thought it was really well delivered. I think her communication style is actually very similar to my own. So I appreciate that. It was a very level look at just in general, the world of disability, the community. She brings up multiple times, which I've brought up, the fact that with this podcast, this is my own perspective. I am not speaking on behalf of every person who has a disability. I'm not speaking on behalf of every person who identifies as being blind. And she says that you could have the exact same diagnosis, but you could have very different experiences, which I've pointed out as well. And the only thing I'm an expert on is my own experience. She brings that up. She brings up the fact that the disability community, it can be siloed at times, and that there are a lot of people who identify with one disability, they'll be very much grouped in within that community of disability as opposed to more of a cross disability justice push. Yeah, I recommend. I'm really a fan of this book. I'm not sure how many pages it is, but it was roughly 4.5 hours, I think. And since I listened to it on double speed, it meant it was 2 hours and 15 minutes. So I got through it very quickly. I didn't really think it lagged anywhere. You know, I already mentioned, like, really the only critique I had was, you know, pointing out the good that the Kennedy family has done in regards to disability while not acknowledging that the family themselves had participated in institutionalizing one of their own family members, which she does speak of as being, I mean, they're still out there, which doesn't make sense to me at all in this day and age that people are still being sent to institutions where they can honestly be treated really poorly. And she also brings up how there are social movements that can often forget about people with disabilities. I would be interested to check on the Time's Up website, because as of when the book was published, she called out the fact that they said that time was up, women needed equal pay, like things shouldn't be like this. And they called out all these different identities of intersectionality, but left out disability. So I wonder if someone got a hold of this book and potentially changed the website. I'm going to check on that. That would be very impressive to see if she created that change. I also would not be surprised if she personally had reached out to them even prior to writing the book saying this needs to be changed. But in general, very positive response to this book. I think that it's a great resource. If you are interested yourself in learning more, I think that this is an excellent way to, I'm trying to think of the best way, but I think it's a great little guidebook. I think it's a great resource to just refer back to when you need to. And if there's someone you know that, like, they're interested in knowing more, maybe they're more interested in diversity, equity, inclusion, and in general, maybe they want to know more, but they have no idea where to start. When it comes to disability justice, this would be the book that I would recommend. It is, she does not by any means paint herself as a victim. I find that it was very encouraging, very empowering, but very real too. She talks about times when people have made her feel awkward or bad for being in a wheelchair, or when she's with her family and her mother is also in a wheelchair, but her father isn't, and how they'll view him as just being this absolute saint for being with someone who is in a wheelchair and, like, helping to support two women in his family that are in wheelchairs. And, you know, it kind of diminishes the idea that her mother or herself bring anything to the table with the family, which isn't the case at all. And so, you know, I appreciate that perspective as well. I sometimes wonder if people view Cam that way in a more positive light because he made the decision to fall in love and marry someone who had an apparent disability. So that must make him just an amazing, better person than the rest of us, because most people wouldn't want to do that. Again, it makes it seem like I'm not bringing anything to the table if that's the way you view it. And so the fact that that was touched on within the book, I thought there was a lot of nuanced experiences that were brought up that you don't always read about in different books around disability. Sometimes they can feel very much like clinical textbooks, and then other times they can feel like a personal diary. And this was a handbook of how to be a better ally and how to conduct yourself on a daily basis in a way that helps to lift up the disability community while interjecting personal experience, not only from herself, but from other people that she interviewed for the book as well. So I thought it did a really great job of moving along, saying what needed to be said, keeping it personal, but at the same time providing you with the information that you really need to know to be an ally that's been proven and doing the research. So the short of it, recommend it highly. So go out, get it, library, Amazon, local bookshop, wherever. Again, if you like this podcast, you'd probably really like the book. We cover a lot of the same material. So with that, thanks so much for listening. I hope that you are able to get out there, read the book, and enjoy it. If you haven't already, please make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you prefer listening to it on. You can also rate and review the podcast to help other people discover it. New episodes drop every Thursday. We have social media, a Facebook page, as well as an Instagram at Basically Blind Pod. And as always, I'll see you next time. Bye.